Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. This is the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. Today's guest is Jorn van Zwanenburg.
Zwanenburg. Yeah, it's a Dutch, very hard Dutch name.
It is a cool name, though. Jorn is a writer, a commentator, and an investor for everything blockchain and cryptocurrency. Apologies for mispronouncing your name so early on, Jorn. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Very interesting.
Oh, I can't wait to grill you on a few bits and pieces. I know that you're out there in Amsterdam, a part of the world that I'm very fond of. Been there several times. I love the lifestyle there, and I know that you guys are fairly forward-thinking in many respects, as well as blockchain. So I'm really interested to, first of all, hear your introduction, how you got to where you are, and what got you started in blockchain and Bitcoin?
Well, it's actually a funny story. It was, I think, about 2 years ago that a friend of mine, he introduced me to a Dutch blockchain initiative called the NL Gulden. We used to have the guilder back in the Netherlands. It was our coin until we switched to the euro. So there was this team trying to bring the guilder back to the Netherlands in terms of cryptocurrency. So I put some money in that, and that went up crazy. So I kind of like, how could this go up, and what is this technology? So I really got into it. And then I think about, 14, 15 months ago, I was like, yeah, I really need to get in this space. But I was traveling, so I was kind of broke. So I asked my dad if I could borrow some money, and my dad said that was absolutely crazy. So I really wanted to change his mind. So I wrote this beginner manual for Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, about a 70-page introduction to how they work, how you get them. And it was kind of to convince my dad, really, just to get me that loan. And well, yeah, I wrote the book, I published it on Amazon, and my dad gave me the loan. And that's actually, after that, I never stopped. And because of the book, I got invest in blockchain.com, got writing. And from that point on, it really started growing and growing. And now I'm full-time working in the industry.
And the question has to be asked, have you paid your dad back?
Yeah. It was a good December. So thank God I could part of it, pay it back. Yeah.
That's a pretty cool story. I mean, it shows initiative, doesn't it? I mean, you needed to get something. You obviously have a way with words or have a way with writing. So that's really good. Now, my business partner has actually been out there in Europe expanding our brand for the last 3 months. And he went to London, then to Amsterdam. I think he was there for, was it Amsterdam Blockchain Week or was it something along those lines?
There was a blockchain conference. It was like a mixture with artificial intelligence, IoT, and blockchain by Blockchain Expo. Yeah.
I'm assuming you went along to that?
Yes, yeah, I did.
Okay, now look, I mean, from your perspective, look, as I said before, you know, Amsterdam's very forward-thinking, and there is a lot that goes on in the space over there. Sort of a European hub in many respects. What are you seeing that's coming out of the space there that you're finding very, very interesting at the moment? Is there anything in particular or anything that's of concern?
Well, actually, Actually, there's two very interesting points. I was doing some interviews last week with Amsterdam startups. And first off, what really got me is that there's no moon Lambo projects in the Netherlands. You know, everybody's that serious. Everybody understands that, you know, they have to be regulatory compliant and they have to come with serious projects. So I was really impressed with the level of that. And secondly, what really, because they're all looking for regulatory, like having a network in regulatory bodies, especially the European Union, because I think they have the final say in the regulatory standards in Europe. And they were all very positive. They all said the European Commission was looking very positive. And actually, one concern of the European Union was that only 13% of all cryptocurrencies were founded in Europe. So not that there were that many cryptocurrencies, but actually that there were only that few from Europe. So I think the overall European stance, and especially the Dutch, is really hands, like the Dutch government's really hands off. So they're not gonna stifle any innovation up till now. And I think the European approach is really positive as well.
Well, that is interesting. I mean, there's a lot of different areas of the world right now that are sort of taking a bit of a forward step, being a bit more proactive. And it's interesting to hear the take on the space over there. I mean, from your point of view, obviously you write a lot of articles. You know sort of put yourself in the space, much the same as what I do. You get to interview a number of people. What's I mean, certainly over this side of the world, and a lot of the guests that I've been speaking to, there's been a lot of chat about sentiment. Okay, so you know, we look at you look at the market now, and yes, it's been overwhelmingly falling this year, and especially the last few months, it's been very, very volatile. But we seem to be seeing more and more positive news. I mean, do you see any correlation as to like, or is there any reason why we're not actually seeing the positive news come out in positive prices? Is there anything going on behind the scenes that you're aware of, that you see or have spoken to people about, that is preventing the market actually growing?
Actually, I think it's just the two basic factors. I think you have the Gartner hype cycle on the one hand. You know, you have a new technology and then you have inflated expectations and then people lose their interest and it completely plateaus and then it slowly develops. And I think we've had that peak of inflated expectations. So I think people would just kind of assume the technology could do way more than it actually could back in December. So I think that's one point. And I think the other one is if you look at the Wall Street cheat sheet, the cheat sheet. I don't know if you're familiar with that sheet.
Yep.
I think that's the same thing. I think it's just going in a downward spiral because it's going in a downward spiral. I think it's more emotionally driven right now because the intrinsic value is, in my opinion, only been going up over the past 6 months. I think it's very emotion driven. And because there's no baseline, there's no real cash flows being generated yet, there's no real work in products, I think it's kind of hard for people to really establish intrinsic value. So yeah, the sentiment just keeps going down, I think, until there's this one blockchain wonder that fixes a problem that couldn't be fixed before.
it is very much like the herd mentality. If the market's falling, everybody's sad and it continues to fall. But you know, if the market's going up, everyone's happy and it continues to go up. But we won't get happy because we're too sad. And it's a very reactive market. It's very emotional, as you say. It's a lot of knee jerk reactions. But we find it seems to be very hard to turn this oil tanker of a market, so to speak, to be positive, even though we have been seeing a lot of positive news. Now, what I'd like to touch on a little bit is, you know, what you do is obviously you invest in the space as well. You've been here, you're full time in this space. This is what you've committed yourself to. Is there any projects out there at the moment that have caught your attention? I like the fact that you said in Amsterdam there's not so many Moon Lambo projects and whatnot. I really like that. I find that to be the part of crypto that needs to grow up. You know, we can't expect to have mainstream adoption. We can't expect to have, you know, be taken seriously if we're, you know, out there. You know, I mean, I'm all for, you know, following your dreams and whatnot. Go and make a rap video separate to crypto. Don't try and bring them together. You know, what sort of projects are you seeing that are capturing your eye at the moment that have got you fairly excited? Has there been anything in the last few months that's really sort of got you interested to the point of maybe looking to invest?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's absolutely still a few around. My number one pick right now would be Augur, because they just launched their actual prediction market, which for me is like, it's super interesting from multiple perspectives, because first it's not very legal, so it's not within the regulatory framework, the prediction market, because already since the market commenced, we have assassination markets, we have like several markets which are not in any legal state acceptable. But there's a certain kill switch that they pulled out of the market. So we're really going to see this battle from, is it truly decentralized? And if it is it truly unstoppable? And I think that's super interesting development. Plus, I think the platform itself works really well. It's a very interesting platform.
So that's a product that's already been there. We've seen that. I think they had a big spike earlier in the month when they released the mainnet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We saw the price jump up.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I mean, essentially where we're at the moment is, you know, we are seeing the thing I'm seeing on Argor, just to sort of stay with it, it does spike a bit, you know, but we see it shoot down quickly. We see it shoot up quickly. It must have relatively low volume. I know it's not a small cap project, but it must have relatively low volume for it to be able to move around so radically. Is that a concern for you when it comes to your investments?
Well, no, not really, because the thing is, what people like, they work with reputation. That's their cryptocurrency. Their cryptocurrency isn't related to the platform itself, because you don't use REP, REP, the cryptocurrency for the platform. So I think it's again, it's very hard to establish intrinsic value of cryptocurrencies. But I think this one is how many people want to be oracles for the platform. And I think as soon as the platform really kicks off and the volume that's being batted on the platform is really spiking, I think then reputation will follow. But those two are separate. Like the volumes going through Augur are not related exactly to the cryptocurrency. And I think that's a problem with a lot of projects, that the actual intrinsic value of the cryptocurrency and the intrinsic value of the platform are, in a lot of ways, they're separate. So yeah, that's another interesting development.
So what are the things that you look for? I mean, you know, obviously you're a writer in the space. You're heavily researching the space, different projects, different people, different advancements in the technologies. Based on all of that coming together that you've been learning over the past year or two, or sorry, 2 years, since that 2016, when it sounds like you sort of threw yourself at it and started writing properly, what sort of things do you find, given your track record and what you've been doing, to be really important? And what things, do you have anything that might, that people might put too much emphasis on that you don't think is worthwhile doing?
Yeah, I think right now the decentralized all hype, I think it's a very good idea. I think, yeah, decentralization can lead to massive efficiencies. And like, I think censorship resistance is very important and becoming more important, protection of privacy as well. But I think what people tend to underestimate is that we've been used to centralized systems ever since society started. And to expect the public to move from centralized to decentralized within the course of 10 years or 15 years, I think that's very hard to ask people. I think that's something that society needs way more time for. So I think the right approach is slowly moving from centralization to decentralization. And I think the emphasis right now is too much on decentralization. Like, for instance, Tezos wants to do full on-chain governance, so everything will be always decided on the platform. I think that it's going to massively backfire, because I think decentralization is incredibly inefficient to make decisions. I mean, I always see, like, say you have a classroom full of 50 kids, and you want to decide which you're going to go to on your school trip, and all 50 have a vote, and you need a 90% consensus to go to the field trip. You're never going to get there. So you need representatives. You need a more efficient system. But full decentralization, I think we're not there yet by far. And I think that's kind of the issue right now I'm seeing. I think first we need elements of centralization and slowly, incrementally move towards decentralization.
And decentralization's naturally slower too, right? Because, I mean, centralized, it's in one place, so therefore it can be accessed easier. Are we going to give up a fair bit of speed for, I guess, trust? I suppose we will.
Yeah, that's kind of what we've been doing, actually. Yeah, and I think, like, a delegated proof of stake, for example, so you have delegates, you gotta speed it up a little bit. But then again, yeah, it's hard to tell. Decentralization by its nature is more inefficient than centralization.
Because that's the, I mean, you look at the trade-off, right? I mean, you look at the younger generation, our generation as well, which is basically, you know, we want everything immediately. You know, you've got kids out there that are, you know, that are in their 20s now that have grown up, literally grown up on the internet. They've grown up with a mobile phone in their hand that can access data and content from everywhere. Now, things are getting faster and faster and faster and faster, and we want instant gratification right now. I mean, you look at social media. It's the perfect example of the youth today, and not just the youth, but that's, you know, they're the ones that sort of champion these sorts of things and make them grow. I mean, the very fact that you can post a picture of yourself doing a funny face or whatever you want to bloody well do and get instant gratification of likes and comments. Now, are we ready? Are we going to truly embrace a slower but safer and more trustworthy system? I would like to think so. I think it needs to be done, but I see that as a challenge long term, because short term there's a huge amount that the blockchain can do that is, you know, it's going to innovate, it's going to make things better, make things safer, and it needs to exist. But I just wonder how much, if we're going to notice the speed slow down on certain things, If that's going to hurt the uptake of the technologies, because lots of projects, as you very well know, still haven't brought a product to market yet. They've raised exorbitant amount of money, but they're still not there.
Yeah, I actually, you can call me pessimistic here, but I don't think we're going to switch to something slower. I don't think, you see it time and time again, you know, people know they've been giving privacy away to Google and Facebook. They know, they're absolutely well aware. It's not that over the past year, it's something like an enlightenment has dawned upon us. No, we've always known. We just really like Facebook and Google. And I think it's going to be like that forever. I think it's, yes, we know our privacy is being violated. Yes, we know like some other things. We know there's digital avatars of us being created to sold to third-party marketeers. We know that. We just want our funny pictures really fast.
We want to shrug our shoulders and move on. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think we're gonna take something that's slower and use it on scale. I think if we really want to disrupt YouTube and Facebook, we got to be exactly the same as YouTube and Facebook, but then with the proper monetization system and decentralized governance. But it absolutely has to be just as fast.
Excellent. I agree with you there. And look, before we wrap up, I mean, what's your thoughts around the space at the moment? Is there any particular area within the current structures that you find particularly exciting? I mean, we've to give you an example, we've seen a lot of energy plays, and we've seen a lot of different players in different sectors. Is there any one particular area? I mean, you mentioned Argor before. Any one particular area where you're sort of channeling a fair bit of your research at the moment because you think that there's going to be something big coming from that particular space?
Yeah, social media. I think right now, like, you have a lot of social media projects to come up. You know, Steemit is a great initiative, even though I think Steemit is too complex for the regular user. But I think they've absolutely set a great example. And I think social media is ready for disruption, especially after the past 6 months Facebook has been going through. You know, the growth is plateauing, which is for any network, and Facebook is essentially a network. For every network, when it's plateauing, that's a very dangerous sign. I think monetization on contributions to social media platform, I think that's a really smart and actually really fair dynamic. And I think that's something to look forward to right now, especially because of the negative press surrounding Facebook and people still want to interact with each other. And yeah, I think social media might be a very, very interesting industry right now.
There's a very good opportunity here because of the distrust that Facebook has created. The opportunity is either going to come in buying Facebook stock now after they've dropped, or and Facebook comes back to dominance because we really just go, yeah, okay, they were shitheads, who cares, move on. Or something better comes along and we go, hey, my mate's on that, I've got to jump across to that, and Facebook starts to really lose traction. I mean, will Facebook become the new MySpace in the next 5 or 10 years? Only time will tell. But, Yuan, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, mate. Where would people find more about you that would like to catch up on some reading that you've written and, just sort of follow you a bit more? How would they find you?
The website I work for is www.investinblockchain.com, and I write about 3 to 4 articles a week there. And for the rest, I've been working on several projects, but that's behind the screen, so you probably can follow me there. But you can track, like, on LinkedIn and Twitter, you can always follow my status, my updates, and what I'm working on right then. And contact me if you need.
And what's your Twitter handle?
And my Twitter is Yorn-Developing.
Yorn-Developing. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, mate. I look forward to getting over your way. And when I am, I'll look you up and we'll try and catch up. But I wish you all the best going forward. And, continued success. And let's see how the next 6 months unfolds. We've certainly had a tough start to the year. Maybe we'll see it plateau. Maybe we'll see it continue to the upside. Who knows? But the space is definitely one that's very exciting with some pretty cool characters in it. And I look forward to speaking to you again in the future. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, mate. Catch you later.
Catch you later.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out tradercobb.com because experience matters.